All right, so I'm so excited to be sitting here in the City Services Building in the city of Charleston with my good friend, Jeff Pearson, the Director of Public Art for the City of Charleston.
Thank you, it's a mouthful. Yeah, it's a long title, but it's the best we come up with. Yeah.
Tell me, what is the Office of Public Art?
So public art was really important to the City of Charleston, well before I came in. Our city manager at that time was David Mulgard, and they applied for an Our Town grant from the National Endowment for the Arts. That created a lot of things. It created a visible collection of the public art, a documentation of the public art. And then one of the main things they wanted to put in was the office, established an Office of Public Art. And fast forward, that was 2011, and fast forward 2017, I came, and we have a public art office now.
How does it function? Where does the funding come from? How does that work? And you mentioned it has a specific mission.
Yeah, so the National Endowment was really interested in seeing new things at that time. Public art at that time was new. Now it's become more prevalent around the country, around the state. We can talk about that later, but how those structural things kind of snowballed all across the country. But at the time, it was relatively new. Mm-hmm. And so they applied for the grant. They had the documentation. And they also wanted to establish this office. And it took 6 years to really think about how that was going to work. And then they came to the conclusion they needed somebody. Mm-hmm. And somebody that could kind of champion that notion of what public art is for the city. But not only what it is, but what's the mission. Mm-hmm. And I can say today, we still have an unofficial mission. That mission is the conservation, the education, and the creation of public art in Charleston, West Virginia. So that's what we do. And it was really important in the early stages is the conservation aspect, because our collection is old. Well, now it's not, because we've added over 200 pieces since 2017, but it was older. Now it's newer. So we have this weird transition to newer works. We still have a lot of older pieces. And of course, education. We've done a lot of those kind of things. We do tours and all that too.
So you just said that you've created 200 new pieces of public art since 2017.
So 2017, that's temporary as well. So I'm kind of packing my stats a little bit. But I think temporary work is important as well. But we've added some other significant pieces. We've added, we'll get to all the pieces, but we've added 16-foot sculptures down to 3-foot. Paintings and those kind of things. So the scale's always varied, but we've added a lot of work and we're really proud of the numbers, but more importantly, the value. We've added the value of public art and how it's important to a city. And I think if we've done nothing else, we've demonstrated that public art has that power to change space, ideas, and thoughts about where we live and where we visit.
So beyond Charleston, What are some of the most impactful public art projects that you've seen?
I think it's, well, I'm not really truly, from my perspective, the first kind of collection of public art synergy was in Princeton. Hmm. Honestly, I think what you guys were doing 10 years ago, of creating that synergy of your downtown and creating public art, not just with the murals, but with the art festivals. And people were traveling to Princeton to see these things happen, not just travel through and get a cup of coffee. I think that's one of the goals of public art, isn't it? Is just to have a place to go, or when you go somewhere, like, this is a cool place. When I go to another city, like, what is there to do? What is there to see? For me, it's public art. That's the most important thing to me.
I think one of the coolest things about that whole chapter of time was you were one of the mural artists that was mm-hmm. painting with us, the amazing mural of blind Alfred Reed. You researched our history and found a little known kind of figure that not a lot of people in Princeton knew about, and you honored him with this big wall. We had Rob Cleland there painting a mural, and it just so happened these 8 professional murals that we were getting on their feet, they all came together at once. And then we had a more community engaged project called Artist Alley with 22 mural artists, and it all happened at once, and it became this just sort of like organically occurring mural festival. And the artists that were creating an Artist Alley would be able to come to your wall or to Patch Whiskey's wall and ask questions and sort of like share this experience. I think that was really special.
I think there's no doubt that we learned from it ourselves. Charleston stole Artist Alley and brought it here. And we had 9 artists that we had do similar. We had them done and then brought in. They were on aluminum first. But I think with one of the things, for me, the most memorable about Blind Alfred Reed was what you said, is that he was unknown. And I remember going to, maybe it was the county commission or city council or something, and I remember saying, does anybody here know who Brian Alfred Reed is? And no one knew, or very few people knew, and I think this is why we need to do this. I think public art can also be a learning tool. We have opportunities to tell stories with public art as well.
Mm-hmm. That's nice.
Tune in to episode 2, where I talk again to Jeff Pearson about how artists and leaders can work together to instigate public art.